Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Welcome to 4-H4U, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension Podcast Network. I'm Greg Allen, and today we're exploring how Indiana 4-H is preparing the next generation for the future of technology and agriculture. From coding and robotics to collaborative robots, also known as cobots, 4-H members across the state are gaining hands-on experience with tools that are already transforming today's workforce. Through STEM learning and innovation, these young people aren't just studying technology. They're building it, they're programming it, and discovering how it can solve real-world problems. Today, we'll talk about how cobots, STEM education, and creative thinking are shaping the future of Indiana 4-H and the young innovators behind it. My guests today are Corey Sharp and Todd Geiger, both Youth Development Directors. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today on 4-H4U.
Thank you, Greg. Glad to be here.
Hey, yes, let's start with something that is something that I'm incredibly interested in, this cobots. I think this is the coolest thing. And I actually used to teach in a career center that had a robotics program. And I found myself, I was in TV and radio, but I always found myself over in their department checking out the latest of what they were doing. So it's something that's near and dear to my heart, only because I think it's cool.
Yeah, it is.
For listeners who may not be familiar with the term, what exactly are cobots and how are they different from traditional industrial robots?
Sure. So cobots stand for collaborative robots. They're designed specifically for human interaction, for humans to work side by side with them. Typically, industrial robots are in a manufacturing cell. They're designed for speed and repetition. These are designed to be slower, safer around human beings, and designed for easier programming, easier use in the workplace, things like that.
Our first function, we must not kill humans.
So that's exactly.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add to that, Todd?
Yeah, no, I think Corey hit it. Purpose around cobots is really, a robot that's designed specifically to work with people. And it's one that has those safety features in it. The handling of those robots, the programming of those robots, that interface is way more user friendly than some of those used in the real high speed robotic industry that's out there. So something that really relates all the way down into the schools and the robotics program that they're already doing, even clear down at the elementary level.
Well, while you mentioned that, Todd, why don't we talk about how did cobots first become part of the Indiana 4-H experience?
Sure. So before I came to 4-H, I worked for Purdue University at the Polytechnic Institute at a statewide system, and we had acquired some cobots through Telebotics out of Carmel as part of our laboratory and our advanced automation program. And so when I switched to 4-H and I was switching over to Extension, the owner of Telebotics, the founder of Telemon, reached out to me and was like, hey, I think there's opportunities here to work with 4-H. And so and we were also in collaboration with Vincennes University. And so between those relationships, they're like, we need to start introducing this technology, maybe pilot a couple of sites. I was already familiar with them. I started to work with Todd. He's very much into STEM like I am. And so we just started to take advantage of that opportunity, that relationship with Telemon, Telebotics, and Vincennes University.
So Todd, what kinds of projects are 4-H members doing with cobots right now?
So where we're at right now, we just launched a pilot program. We had a showcase event Corey hosted up in Elkhart County. just really to garner interest up here in kind of the northern part, northeast part of Indiana, and it also engaging our schools. So as we kind of expand that direction, develop those partnerships with schools, you know, what can we do to partner with them when it comes to career and technical education? Most high schools today offer those programs. They have some sort of automated manufacturing pathway for kids. Robotics fits right there. That's what the current workforce is using in that industry. So working with Corey, our partners at Vincennes, this is a perfect fit. And then, of course, it just expanded from there. We have local business partners, community partners here across Northeast Indiana that love the idea. Our story here in Whitley County is a little unique, as Corey and I started talking about this. And I'm kind of a STEM tech geek, I guess you would say. None of the technology scares me. I'm not afraid to jump in, screw it up, because I know there's somebody smarter than me that can fix it. So when he started talking about cobots, I'm like, I'm all in. This is fabulous. But as I started talking to folks here in Whitley County, some local business owners, it really grabbed their attention, because there's some jobs that they have in their business that are, hey, they're our entry-level pay. Turnover is high. It's a mundane job, but it's vitally important to what we do. So every single time we have somebody that walks away from the job, I have to steal from somewhere else in the plant to do the job, which backlogs us somewhere. If you're telling me that these cobots could fill a need that's hard for us even to hire for anyway, I want to learn more. So over this course of time that it's taken Corey and I to kind of get this up to fruition, two of these businesses right here in Whitley County have actually purchased cobots for their actual manufacturing business, which has been awesome.
That's very cool. Looks like, did you have something to add to that, Corey? It looked like you had something. Did you
want to add? No, that's really the case, is that these cobots really are, because there are labor shortages in so many different areas, including agriculture, that cobots can be a solution when there is a labor shortage. And because of the ease of use, the learning curve for a company or an organization or a farmer to use these is really not all that hard. And so that's why I think companies are looking at this as a potential solution and looking, you know, we've done some research, especially in the agricultural sector. You know, we have an aging population in the farming community. Our farmers are getting older. Some of them may have some, you know, limitations physically that as you get older. I know I'm 52. I can't do things that I did when I was 25. And that even some of these cobots can help alleviate some of that work, whether it's in a manufacturing setting or in an agricultural setting.
So then what sort of skills do young people gain when they work with cobots?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. There's one, problem solving. One of the things that we've done with the cobots, we've been piloting some curriculum with Elkhart Area Career Center, where we take a group of kids that it's a 4-H/Career Center partnership. We take the kids into a local manufacturer. They give us a manufacturing challenge that they legitimately have in their facility, and they have to problem solve ways to do that. We use our innovation, our invention convention curriculum that we use, and they have to solve problems. And oftentimes the kids are starting to use the cobot as a solution to whatever that manufacturing challenge is. And last year or 2 years ago, we partnered with NIPCO and Elkhart, and the kids actually designed and prototyped end of arm tooling for the cobot to solve a challenge. And the plant manager at NIPCO was like, wow, that might actually work. And these were high school freshmen and sophomores.
Amazing. That is really cool. Okay, so there's we got to move on to more STEM stuff, but one more question about this. There's a contest that's coming up in May, Cobot
Correct.
Contest. Tell us about this and how you're preparing for it.
Yeah, so our Cobot contest has a poultry theme to it. Again, trying to make some ties. And so, and actually this the contest is based upon a real-world manufacturing solution for a poultry producer down in southern Indiana. So we replicated that and put it in and kind of gamified it for the kids. And so the kids will have to use the cobot and program it to pick and place eggs to put them in cartons and palletize them with safely, you know, without cracking the eggs, obviously. And so that's one aspect of it. They also have to use visualization. And so using the cameras and the data to then maneuver the cobot around. And so giving it some specific cues that the cobot has to do. And so they have to make a program adjustment to that. And then also they have to, the other additional bonus challenge is programming for an obstruction. Like in most cases, you know, there's obstacles, whether it's in a manufacturing plant or in a farm, and you got to accommodate for that obstacle. It might be a post, it might be another piece of equipment. How do you navigate that egg and that cobot around that obstacle without, you know, causing damage? And so those are the three core challenges or the three challenges. Plus, the kids have to do an engineering notebook of how they problem solved and how this cobot will solve the problem, as well as do perfect for 4-H, a presentation, right? They got to present to the judges their solutions and why they did it. And so Todd and I have been working on, you know, how we want to roll this out in May.
So is this contest statewide then, or is it just for your area?
Todd, I'll let you kind of.
Yeah, so this year here in 2026, it's just a pilot. I'm going to be up here for Northern Indiana, Northeast Indiana, just to really kind of roll it out. What's it look like? Is this a good fit for our 4-H youth? Are we making that connection? Is there the value add for our local schools? Do they see buy-in to this? And then obviously, is there a value add for our community partners? Like, are we doing really what we're hoping to get out of this, of really making that crossover from the education component for the kids, for them to see, wow, this has real world uses. And there's people in the room that own businesses that are like, oh my gosh, if you guys were able to assemble this, how can I get you on my team for when you graduate? Because this is the new technology that's out there that is totally impactful to what we do and brings a value to what we're doing. So that's really the real goal of this first year pilot, to see, can we make those connections? And is it something that could potentially roll out statewide?
Man, I have a feeling that you're onto something huge here.
I think so too. I think so too. And people like Miller Poultry, they've come on board as sponsors as well, obviously with the egg theme. You know, Tippecanoe Valley Schools, they're one of our school partners. You know, Mentone, Indiana, it's the egg basket of the world. So, you know, we're definitely trying to make those connections with communities, companies, the 4-H community, and our school partners, and the folks like Vincent University.
Well, I thought our conversation about cobots would be cool, and you both didn't disappoint me. That was fantastic. But let's switch gears here and talk more STEM. And if you're a parent of a child in school within the last, I'd say, 10 years, you have heard the term STEM and what that means, and it's become such a major focus in youth education. How is Indiana 4-H incorporating STEM learning into its programs today?
Yeah, so obviously, first off, we'll talk about STEM because I formerly came from the classroom. So I was a public school teacher for 15 years. And I always felt I was highly creative, did hands-on stuff. I thought, yeah, I got a good handle on STEM. When I took the leap and came to Purdue Extension here in our county, working for 4-H Youth Development, it kind of like opened my eyes like, oh, wow, I lived in a box. And partly that box is what you have to live in as a classroom teacher. But being in 4-H and understanding the world of STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics can really be anything as long as the kids are doing it hands-on. So in our 4-H world, literally everything we do is STEM, whether it's even with animals and livestock. That is all hands-on learning for those kids. But in my county, what I really wanted to do is, how can I build a program that, again, there's value to the schools? I'm going to create an experience for those kids that's unlike any other. That was my goal. It would be very hard to replicate for school systems just on a couple of main factors. One, as a classroom teacher, I think the smallest class size I ever had was 23. The largest I ever had was 30. For us as a 4-H program, with our huge amounts of volunteers that we have access to help that schools sometimes don't. So I was like, what if I can build a program that has the capability of the helpers along with it? We could come into schools, into a classroom, do hands-on activities, break the kids up into small groups. Every kid gets the opportunity to do whatever STEM topic that we're working on. So that's what I really developed. I went one step further with that, and I wanted to engage our older kids. One thing education has always taught me is kids learn best from kids. I remember as a teacher, I used to say to our staff all the time, I think I could stand up on top of a table and light myself on fire, and I'm still not going to get all the kids engaged. I'm just not. But if I took a teenager and they did something super cool, man, they had every kid engaged. So I brought high schoolers along with us. They became part of our STEM team. They are our teens as teachers. Over the course of several years, we've developed over 30 hands-on activities that are quick hits. And we go in and really do it anywhere from kindergarten up through 12th grade. But it's that component of taking something that they're already doing in school, but really bringing it to life with what we're doing and trying to show that connection into a career or a hobby or something they could literally do the rest of their life. That's my main focus when it comes to our STEM program. And I'm sure Corey has stuff to add as well.
Sure. So yeah, Todd has had, a lot of history, developing these in-school STEM programs. So I'm emulating some of what Todd does. A lot of our 4-H STEM program is actually taking place after school in a variety of ways. We've been able to develop and grow some specific STEM clubs within Elkhart County 4-H. Our Computer Science, Technology, and Robotics Club, we've got like 30 kids almost in that club alone. And the kids are working on AI, large language models, are working on those kinds of things. We have fall and spring robotics for those kids. So the older kids are going to be on our 4-H Cobot team. They're into cybersecurity. They're doing a lot of different things. So that's one way. We've also added an aviation and astronauts club where they really get into aviation, drones. They were doing a whole series on some of the rockets the long range rockets that are going on. I mean, these tie right back into 4-H projects like rocketry and drones and things like that. But then also we're taking things like we have a Chef's University program, we have gardening programs, and really highlighting the STEM aspects of them. I mean, just yesterday I was at Mary Daly Elementary School, and we're making sloppy joes with the kids after school. But the kids have to understand measuring, fractions. They're third and fourth graders, adding and subtracting fractions, and we make them do it the hard way because one of the teachers is with us. She's like, "Don't give them the full cup. Give them like some quarter cups and a half cup, and let them figure out how to get to a full cup." And so things like that can really make a difference. And part of the gardening stuff as well, obviously plant science and soil science, but we get into weather. And so weather science and climatology, all those things we study with the kids. And so like we talked about, STEM is everywhere. It's just a matter of how you bring it out and present it to the kids.
So how early can youth get involved with robotics or coding or engineering, any of those programs through 4-H?
Sure. So for us in Elkhart County, our mini 4-H program and our Computer Science, Robotics, and Technology Club, the volunteers took this on, and they offered specifically an introduction to robotics using Lego robotics for kindergartners through second graders this year. So it could be as early as that, or building a rocket, you know, as a mini 4-H'er.
Amazing. So we have to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to talk to Corey and Todd about innovation and real-world applications when 4-H4U returns right after this.
Farming isn't just a job. It's the foundation of life. Farmers feed us, fuel our future, and pass down traditions built on hope and hard work. At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know farming is more than a profession. It's a legacy. That's why we stand shoulder to shoulder with farmers, offering agricultural loans, insurance, and education. Because we're not just here for farmers, we're owned by them. Farming matters, and we're proud to honor it every day.
And we're back with 4-H for you. Thank you for joining us, Corey, Todd. Thank you so much. Let's talk about real world stuff, grown up stuff, innovation. You know, the future of what these kids can expect from a program like this. How do programs like Cobots, you know, the STEM things that you guys are doing through 4-H? How can that help 4-H members connect what they're learning to real world careers?
Sure. So I think, you know, especially with our older high school 4-H'ers, we're always trying to connect it back to career opportunities. So for example, we're going to have a trip because of Vincent's support. We're going to take some of these kids that are interested in robots and go down to Vincent University, and they have a full lab of Cobots. And so they're going to go down and see those kinds of things. So trying to make that college and career connections, and then also working on how do you cultivate this into a work-based learning opportunity for the older kids. Todd?
Yeah, very similar here with us in Whitley County. We have one of our large STEM events coming up next month on April 18th, I believe is the date. So we started a large STEM program called STEM Fest. We rent out a wing of one of our, the largest middle school in the county. We open it up to any youth in grades 3 through 6. Last year we had over 120 kids that attended. But through that, they're going to do STEM classes all day long. But our goal is bringing in presenters from literally all across the state, is to do something fun and cool. You know, you can't leave out the fun. But then in there, tying in how this turns into a career, how this has real world use. So one of them we have coming up is a relatively new, I mean, drones and UAVs have been out there, but they're really starting to take off, particularly in the ag world. So in particularly here in our neck of the woods, we now have a business here in Whitley County that actually has drones that fly on applications on crops. So, and the lady that's actually created this business, she, I believe, is going to end up being one of our presenters. And she's going to come in, and we're hoping going to bring in some of our drones to just show the kids, this is super cool and fun what we're going to do today by flying our small drones inside the building. But here's where it can lead to down the road, that there is a whole career pathway behind this. So to me, that's always been the thing. Can you roll something out to youth where you catch that spark? And they're like, man, this was awesome. If I got to do this for a job and got paid, like, it'd really feel like I never actually went to work at all. I just get paid to do what I love doing. And that's really my whole focus behind it. So, yeah, making those connections and showing those kids how it does have those real world connections by bringing in folks that we partner with, I think, to me, is critical.
Well, and that was one of the
applications. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was going to say, Todd and I also took a group of kids to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway during the eclipse. Mm-hmm. One of the best things is it was obviously a Purdue event, and the kids got to meet with Purdue engineers and learn about engineering at the eclipse. And so, again, it's like taking those kids as far as we possibly can, and they got to see engineering of racing as well as the engineering of, you know, of the eclipse, you know, how that actually works. And so, and the science behind that. So it's constantly giving kids exciting opportunities that are outside the box.
I was actually just going to say, we've talked about egg application, we've talked about drone applications, and I was going to ask for more examples of technology to solve real-world problems in specifically agriculture, but also manufacturing and other things in their own communities.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where, you know, trying to connect our programming to who are those local sectors. And so going back to the egg instance, you know, here in Elkhart County, we're one of the largest poultry producers, especially of duck production in the world. And so we want to make sure the kids are getting connected with that. And, you know, we've had conversation with additional poultry producers on how this program could help benefit them in the future. But also with some of our like soil science activities, our traditional CDE programs, which are career development events, all those things can lead to careers in agriculture or other opportunities beyond high school.
Todd, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, no, I think Corey hit the nail on the head. I mean, from my side, really, you know, big application in particularly the ag community is drone usage. I think AI is going to very soon have a large impact, not just in ag. I think that's going to be far and wide. But computer science is a huge one. Robotics is huge. I think that's a sector, particularly, you know, you get out in the field to actually on the farm, probably widely unutilized at the time. But are the kids today, when they get to be, you know, Corey and I's age, probably robotics is going to be very common on the family farm. What's that going to look like? I have no idea. I doubt it's a cobot. I think a cobot's going to get us started there, but it's probably going to be something that hasn't even been invented yet. But it's really making those connections and having those kids see that. I think that's the creative piece that's huge for those kids to realize, oh, this could have an impact there. And then, you know, you kind of turn them loose, and as they get older, that maybe they're the generation that's creating some of this brand new technology. So,
yeah, and we have another good example is we partner with Alcona Country Club. The kids are learning about turf science, forestry, all of those kinds of things that they could study at Purdue, especially with turf and agronomy. But one of the things the kids are learning is that the country club is going to get their own fairway robotic mower. So the kids, and it's all managed by AI, and the kids are so excited to see that robot next year mowing the fairways and then collecting all that data for the club superintendent. Like, that is amazing. The kids are waiting to see that.
And speaking of the future and AI, I think, you know, as far as the creative aspect of it goes, I think the key thing to teach these kids about AI is how to use it responsibly, you know, and how to embrace it. I mean, because it's here and it's not going anywhere. I liken it to, you know, back in the 90s when the internet first started coming around, everybody was like, oh, we need to reject this, we need to blah, blah, blah. And there's not one person on this planet that doesn't use the internet in some way, shape, or form. And I really believe that's the way it's going with AI as well. So to be able to teach those kids how to not only use it, but use it responsibly is, I think, key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of our computer science, robotics, and technology club. And the kids that are working on AI, they're looking at the ethics of it, how to use it responsibly. And we actually, the leaders developed three different chatbots for the kids to utilize. One that's very accurate and very useful. One that's moderately accurate and moderately useful. And one that's horrible. And so the kids have to use those different prompts. And then they have to decide, is this information real or not? And they don't really always know. And so then they have to go back and actually use more information literacy skills to find out what is really the answer. Because as we know with AI, it doesn't always generate the correct response. And so these are real life examples the kids are using with that AI tool in our 4-H club.
Well, speaking of that and all of these things, and this question is really for both of you and Todd, but we'll start with you. Where do you personally see technology and innovation programs in Indiana 4-H heading over the next couple of years?
I think that they're going to become vital. My thought process, this may be my own opinion, whether that happens across the entire state or not, is always looking at where our kids are, where their interests are. But then you got to go beyond that group, because they're not going to stay kids forever. So, you know, they're going to become adults. They're leaders in our community. They're going to be working in our hometowns, other hometowns around the state. So what is the need? I think that's the constant challenge that Corey and I see. One of the fastest evolving groups of people in the world are youth. It changes from year to year. It's unlike us adults that get stuck in our ways. And, you know, we do the same thing every day for maybe 30 years. Our kids don't. It changes all the time. So technology, I think, is going to be a huge component of that. I think that we scratched the surface well. I think there's a lot more that we can do in terms of growing the programming when it comes around to technology. But, you know, there's a saying out there with technology is once you buy it, particularly a computer, it's already obsolete because they've already moved on to the next one. So constantly evolving with that technology, again, getting it in front of kids. I am sure in the next 20 years, there's going to be way more technology careers than what there is today. So we need to continue to do our job to get our kids beyond ready for the future by presenting them the opportunity to have those experiences with technology, whether that's in robotics, computer science, coding, all those things. But to keep pushing the envelope, I guess, is where I'm at. You got to keep pushing the envelope to get our kids, to give them the best chance for success in the future, but really engaging. For me, it's that creativity piece. For them to understand, you know, have that no fear attitude when it comes to technology, when it comes to AI, understanding the correct way to use AI, but what are the benefits? How can we utilize it down the road to have a real impact in people's lives?
Hey, Corey?
Yeah, I was also thinking Todd hit the nail on the head with our youth, but I think really an area that we need to look at and address is like helping our volunteers. You know, 4-H runs on its volunteers. How do we get our volunteers to be more open to using technology? You know, our kids and the youth that we work with, they're digital natives, right? And so they don't have those concerns or those fears. They're wanting to try it. We have, you know, a variety of generations of different volunteers. And so I think one of the things that I'm thinking about moving forward is having more workshops and trainings for our volunteers so they feel more comfortable using STEM and technology and trying to help them feel more comfortable as things evolve.
This whole thing just is amazing to me, and I'm so glad that I had you guys on today and that we're talking about these things, and it's so imperative, especially for this up-and-coming generation. For parents or young people that may be listening or watching today, how can they get involved in these programs through 4-H?
Yeah, I would say contact their local 4-H office and their local Purdue Extension office. And I would just Google, you know, Purdue Extension, and that'll get you to the main Extension webpage, or Indiana 4-H. Either one of those will get you to some information. And, you know, reach out to your local 4-H office, your 4-H educator, and, you know, somebody like Todd or myself will be there ready to help.
Mm-hmm. Corey Sharp, Todd Geiger, thank you so much for joining me today on 4-H for You.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Well, that'll do it for 4-H for You. Today, we've learned how Indiana 4-H is blending tradition with technology, giving young people opportunities to explore robotics, coding, and collaborative automation through hands-on STEM experiences. Programs like Cobots are helping 4-H members build skills in problem-solving, teamwork, and innovation that will serve them well in tomorrow's workforce. If you'd like to learn more about how to get involved with Indiana 4-H or bring STEM opportunities to your community, be sure to check with your local extension offices. Thanks for joining us. I'm Greg Allen, and we'll see you next time on 4-H4U, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension Podcast Network.